committed to sharing cultural diversity through food. Welcome to El Paso Food Voices.
Welcome. I'm Meredith E. Abarca, your host for today's episode. El Paso Food Voices explores El Paso, Texas food landscape by gathering food stories from our residents. This project offers a taste of a living history that speaks of ethnic and racial cross-cultural connections. If we are what we eat, we are committed to highlighting the food-based culture and history of this city. In this spirit, let's begin our conversation with our guests, Josh and Margot Lepe, owners of Lucy's Cafe North, a restaurant located at 10025 Dyer Street. Today, Josh and Margot will share with us a bit of Josh's side of the family that has been in business since 1978. Josh is the grandson of the original owner of Lucy's Cafe. Josh and Margot, welcome to El Paso Food Voices.
Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you for being with us. So let's begin by telling us a little bit about the two of you so our guests can put you in context, like give us your name, whether you're from El Paso or if you are, how long have you been here?
My name is Josh Lepe, and as you said, I'm grandson of Lucy Lepe, and it's just been an honor to try to continue her legacy going, and she's been in business for 50 years. She's given us a platform to have a business and continue it. And I'm just so honored to live in that legacy and continue that legacy to pass it down to our children. Being in a food restaurant has been in my livelihood my entire life. Ever since I could remember, the restaurant has been part of my growing up, my daily life, seeing everybody, seeing customers and being around lots of people. It just really sparked an interest and to want to get into this kind of business. Not everybody likes it. It's not for everybody, but something that I did like was getting to know our customers, getting to meet them and know their story. It wasn't just about my story. It was about everybody else walking in those doors that really helped create the atmosphere. What we've built within those four walls, it's been a beautiful thing seeing people share their stories about first time meeting each other at the restaurant and being married later on, or a little kid coming in as a 2-year-old and now he's 22 years old and he remembers eating the spicy salsa. And, you know, it's those customers right there that just really spark what we do that gets me going every day, that just makes me want to go to work every day and show up and show face and, you know, just keeping that happiness and the tradition going of being available for some people. Some people need us more than we need them. I realize, you know, there's a lot of lonely people and they go and search for us and they really attach to us. And it's a beautiful thing just to be a part of anyone's life. It's, you know, it just shows the character of the city, of who we are as a people here in town. Just my personal experience in the Northeast, I've just grown to love a big community of at least 200 people just showing up week in and week out, just supporting us. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing starting that and continuing that business. And then doing it so with my wife has been very, very interesting. We started it off the restaurant with my wife pregnant. And the most beautiful thing is that when she was 9 months pregnant, people were just customers, you know, no name face, and just people that we know, no names to their attached to them, but just showing us the gifts and bringing us so many gifts because we were having a baby. And, you know, that was really touching for us. I know it was touching for me.
A little bit about Josh and I's history. Actually, we graduated from Coronado High School together. We never dated in high school. We would flirt a little bit, but we never dated, and I never imagined that I would marry into a restaurant business. I actually was the worst waitress in my teenage years, and that's why I went to school. I graduated with a degree actually in electronic media from UTEP, and I really thought that life is just not for me. And sure enough, I was interning. I think the only time I ever stepped into Lucy's, it was the Lucy's at the King's X, was because I was interning at KROD and Kiss FM across the street. So they would often send me to go get some burritos and some breakfast for them really early. I never ran into Josh at that time. However, as life happens. Our paths crossed again. We were friends on Facebook for many years, and that's kind of pretty much how we started communicating again. We started to communicate. So I interned there when I was about 20, and then almost 10 years later, we started talking a little bit more, and he actually told me, why don't you come on and why don't you come into the restaurant and eat? Because he, at the time, he was working at the King's X, at the Lucy's at the King's X. I thought, I'm not going to go somewhere and eat by myself. I was, you know, a young, proud, proud woman. And I thought, if he wants to take me out on a date, he should, you know, take me somewhere else. So he actually did. He took up on that offer and he said, I will take you to dinner somewhere. So we went on our first date and the rest is history. I thought, oh my goodness, this is the person that I've been praying for. This is exactly what I've been, because at the time I was ready to have a serious relationship. So we married. We've been married 9 years. We just celebrated our 9-year anniversary last month. And like Josh said, he was working at the King's X early on in our marriage. And then we had an opportunity to open up our own location because Lucy Lepe is the original founder. Her children have all operated their, most of her children actually have all operated their own business and opened up their own location all along, pretty much throughout the years, all along Mesa on the west side. About 20, 25 years ago, two of his uncles did have a location in the Northeast and it was open for several years. However, that location closed, so they continued with their businesses along Mesa. So we had this wonderful opportunity 6 years ago to open up a new restaurant in the Northeast. And that side of town really had a need for this type of restaurant, honestly. And like Josh said, it wasn't just about the food. It was creating a community who really lacked going in. It's all, we describe it like Cheers, because there's so many different characters and so many different people who you would think would never connect. And they've built their own friendships. They've built their own relationships there, all because of that business. And we were so blessed enough to actually have expanded last year. So the business next door closed and we are now double in size. And like Josh said, I was pregnant at the time. I started to help out. And it wasn't just about waitressing for me. I realized the humility in serving people. And because I wasn't this 18-year-old waitress anymore, I was this soon-to-be mother woman who's married, who was pretty much blessed enough to be brought into this family who has such a long history in El Paso. They're a staple. So I felt very fortunate and very, very honored by being able to be a part of that. And honestly, we've been very blessed by people who support our business. And no matter, even throughout COVID, as many restaurants and businesses struggled at that time, ours never struggled. We never saw it slow down. You know, actually, we shut down and we just did to-goes for almost a year, I think, maybe less than that, maybe 6 months. And at that time, the business just continued. People would show up and say, man, I really can't wait for you guys to open up your doors, because they go in there and we serve, you know, I think it's so nice that my husband and his family have always offered complimentary fideo soup, chips and salsa. And then of course the food is very affordable. The plates have always been so affordable and you get a tremendous amount of food. Of course, the machaca plate and the tacos Antonia are two signature dishes that have been around since Lucy's started. And I wasn't a big fan of Mexican food before I got married, even though both of us are from El Paso. I just thought, you know, it's not the healthiest food, but man, I found the richness in the food. And a lot of it, my husband has really developed an ability to make it just taste so good. And it's not that it's unhealthy, actually. I found that it tastes so delicious. Like the tacos Antonia are actually some of my favorite. a lot of people can get salads, especially now because people are kind of inclined to trying to eat healthier. But the warmness and the kindness in the food is really what it's about. Each location has its own, has its own touch. So we really pride ourselves on being able to give people what they need. And over in the Northeast, we found such a calling for that.
Well, thank you for that. That's a wonderful framing of the history of the restaurants. And your, Margot, your entrance into the Lepe family. I would like to step back a little bit in history, I suppose, because I think we will agree that those of us who are from El Paso or live in El Paso for a long time, that Lucy's, like some other establishment, it is a legendary establishment, particularly with the machaca for breakfast. But before we get to some specificities of the foods, which I really would like to hear more about, I still would like to get a little bit of a taste, so to speak, of the character of who Lucy, of Lucy herself, Josh's grandmother. So, Josh, do you have some memories of your grandmother, or do you or knowledge as to why the business? Why did she go into a restaurant? Particularly in the 70s. So what motivated her? I know you're talking about, and I appreciate that a lot, that oftentimes it's not so much about the food, but it's about the people that makes this establishment just stay alive forever because it's the connection we made with others. But tell us about how your grandmother, if you remember, if you have stories, went about making those connections and why did she go into business?
Well, that's going way back in the 70s, you know. She Hispanic woman, working by herself. I mean, I think broke all odds. Most Hispanic women, it was a different time that, you know, there was, they didn't have the opportunities that they do now. And I think what really showed her character was that she was able to serve the community as long as she has, but her seven children that she was able to take care of by going to work every day and just hardworking person, never complained. She never made it a point that work was more important. It was all for the children, for my father, for his brothers and his sister. She did it all for the sacrifice for them. And I know that it was just one of the things that you just had to do. And she crossed that bridge every day on foot and showed up to that coffee shop early in the morning. And it was a restaurant. I don't know the name of the restaurant before it was turned to Lucy's. She worked for a gentleman that worked that owned the business, and he ended up leaving the place. And so the customers loved Lucy so much. They would say, "Hey, well, let's go to Lucy's." The customers themselves coined the restaurant as Lucy's. Let's go to Lucy's restaurant. You know, it was never her restaurant. It was someone else's. While the guy left, she opened up her name, put Lucy's up on the kiosk, and she did so well. Thankfully, she did that. She made that choice. She made that chance. She took a chance. And I think it takes that kind of risk to take chances, and you never know the outcome is going to be. And it's a 40 year chance that she's been able to 50 years, I'm sorry, 50 years that we're able to keep that coffee shop open.
This is the little place in on Mesa.
On Mesa, UTEP, California. Right? Yes, right across the street from UTEP, from a cathedral.
From cathedral, that's the one I went to 20 years ago.
Yes, that place, I remember. I mean, you still walk in that place and I feel like I get sent back in time. It's the blue and white checkered tile walls that, you know, that haven't changed, the bar stools, just in total environment hasn't changed in the 40, 50 years that we've been around. And it's such a nice environment to go in and just reminisce. I remember going back as a child and remember the waffles being the size of pizzas. Growing up, it was just a 12-inch waffle, but it was just that exaggerated. It was that big of a place growing up, seeing all the people that would walk in there. Some of those best stories I've heard just recently, you know, a lady went to the restaurant the other day and told me, "Oh, I know your grandma. She worked at the coffee shop." I said, "Oh, yes, that was my grandma. She was a very nice lady. Let me tell you why." And I was like, "Wow, I wasn't expecting this story." And getting to be able to use this is just confirmation of her her kindness, but she was, the lady had remarked that she was struggling going to the UTEP. She didn't have very much money at the time, and that my grandma would let her, would feed her. And she said, it was okay. Don't worry about it. Just say, you know, just pay it when you can, or, you know, she never charged her for the food. She just passed it on, you know, pass the kindness on to somebody else. And that motivated this woman to grow up and do some amazing things, because she just told me recently that she was successful. She graduated, and I had asked her, well, what did you do in the meantime? And she was a very successful woman. But her, that humble beginning of her going through that struggle and that kindness of someone else just saying, it's okay, don't worry about it. I'll feed you. No worry. I'm not going to charge you for it. I'm not going to look for you for a couple of dollars. That really sparked a positivity energy in this woman that it stuck with her for so long. And that's not the first person I've heard say that. You know, my grandma would run up tabs for people that were college students that were going UTEP. There's a teacher from Coronado, Mr. Briggs. He was one of those struggling students that went to her coffee shop, and she would feed him. And he would always tell me, oh, your grandma's such a nice woman. You know, she always let me run tabs, and every Friday I would go pay her. But, you know, just, it was, people were struggling at the time, and to be able to offer something like that and just trust people. And even if they went back and paid or not, just being able to do that, I think is a huge heart. It's a big heart to carry and walk around with. And yeah, that's one of the hearts that I try to walk around with.
That's wonderful. So it sounds like at the beginning, your grandmother, Lucy, lived in Juarez and came to work to El Paso, correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah, she did. Yeah. She had to cross that border. I'm telling you, on foot, 20-mile walk. I heard about those stories, and it made me think, I have nothing to complain about waiting for a bus for 20 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, and I like,
I have
this
nothing
principle
to complain about.
I grew up in Mexico, and I also grew up with the system that your grandmother implemented, which is, I guess in Spanish, we call it fiar. You know, I would go to the grocery store or somewhere, my mom would send me, and then we just put it in a list. And then when mom finally got paid, she would go pay. So it sounds like it's the same kind of system, which is really a system of trust, which I think is absolutely wonderful. So the other thing that fascinates me a little bit, fascinates me a lot, and I would like to hear your stories, what you can tell me. I was looking at the menu, and I noticed that there's a lot of wonderful food in the menu, obviously, but there are a couple items that specifically have Lucy's name, like Lucy's famous machaca, Lucy's burger, Lucy's sopa de, what's the name of the sopa?
The calderes.
Caldo de res or caldo
talpeño. Yes.
Lucy's salad. I'm assuming, but I'd rather not assume and have you tell me what you can tell me about it, whether these are her recipes, and that's why it has her name. They have her name.
Yeah. Well, you know, the machaca was one of her signature dishes that she started at the coffee shop. And the thing that's different from the normal machaca is that chile con queso. In Mexico, the machaca doesn't carry chile con queso. Well, us Americans, we love our queso. And she would put that with the deshebrada, the scrambled egg. And that machaca burrito has been a staple, I think, for El Paso. I mean, the combination of those two. Not too many places do offer the chile con queso on top. You know, they want to be more traditional. I've heard, oh, that's not machaca, that's gringo machaca. But it's, like I said, it's the customers that dictate what's in demand. And if the customers are liking it, we're going to make it. We're going to do it to their liking too. And, you know, it's been such a good product that we've been able to put our name attached to that. The caldo res, you know, traditional soups you would normally make everywhere else. We put our name on that just to separate our signature touch for the talpeño. I don't think too many restaurants have the avocado, the garbanzos, the cheese, and a chicken vegetable soup. There, you know, normally you would get a Azteca or tomato soup with a little the corn chips on top. This is a different kind of soup. So we try to keep ourselves individual, try not to copy other people or try to use the same recipes as everyone else is doing, you know, just individualize our market and make ourselves more unique to El Paso. It's a, you know, we think it's a capital of Mexican food here. There's so much good Mexican food in El Paso, and you know, just having the traditional tacos. You know, everybody could make a taco, but our tacos Antonia are different from other tacos in El Paso. You know, we have the Lucy Tacos Antonia that have the shredded beef, the sliced avocado, a cabbage salad that has tomatoes, cilantro, lime, and salt and pepper, really just fresh ingredients with the spiced taco shell, cheese, and sour cream. That right there is our Taco Antonia that we're really proud of, that I was able to showcase on the Texas Bucket List just a few months ago. Not too many people have those Tacos Antonia in town, so we try to really market that as being Lucy's brand taco. It's our touch. It's our signature. There's let Machaco across. Go ahead.
Sorry, let me try it for a second. What is there a particular significance to Antonia? To the name Antonia?
Oh, yes, please. So Antonia was my aunt, my grandma's sister, one of the main chefs there. She was one of the matriarchs of that establishment, of helping us keep it going for so long. And rest in peace, her soul. She's not no longer with us, but her dishes are still with us. It was by all means, that taco was an accident. She didn't mean to make the taco. She just happened to do it, and a customer saw it and they said, "Hey, you know what? I want that taco. Can you make me another taco?" And she's like, yeah, I'll make you that taco. And people, like we said, the customers are the ones who dictate what we sell or what they're going to want the best. And sure enough, people started saying, "I want one of those Tacos Antonia, one of those Antonia tacos." And so it was pretty much a blessing in disguise. It was like, wow, we have a gold mine right there. And so sure enough, we started marketing the Tacos Antonia, and it became a signature taco. It blew up. We know, we just didn't expect something out of a mere accident to be a staple of our business.
Well, and I mean, I know you frame it as,
that did happen.
Yes. And like I said, I know you frame it as sort of quote unquote marketing. And of course you need to market it. This is a restaurant. But the other wonderful thing about it, in terms of the dishes that have Lucy's name and Antonia, is that in some ways you like you said, you are keeping them alive. I mean, you're keeping their knowledge and the traditions and the culinary inventions. Like you said, she did not meant to make this taco, but Antonia did. But she created something that took. And that's essentially how most recipes are created, right? We invent things and then they happen. I also would like to point out what you just mentioned a minute ago about, you know, the chili con queso that you put on top of the machaca that makes it nice and moist and juicy and smooth when you eat it.
Yeah.
I would say that what that represents, or I would like to think that what that represents is the uniqueness of the location where we are, which is, you know, it's El Paso, it's Texas, it's a border town. It's a combination of different culinary traditions that come together. So I personally don't necessarily see it just as gringo food, but as something very unique that gets created in the area that we happen to live, which is El Paso. So that's wonderful. Oh, yeah. I'm getting hungry now. So what led, I mean, I know that there's at least four currently, and there might be more, so correct me. For Lucy's establishment. Some are called Lucy's Cafe, some are just called Lucy's Restaurant. Right? And you started.
That's correct. Yes.
That's correct. Okay. And you started Lucy's Cafe North, both of you together, 6 years ago.
Six years ago.
Things changed in the menu? You keep the same menu? Have you added new creations that Margo has brought into, that you together have brought into? How has the menu either maintained itself? Or modify it? Have you modified it a little bit?
Well, you know, I didn't want to break anything or fix anything that wasn't broken. So I kept a lot of the stuff. I kept a lot of the stuff that Grandma started with, which she started. There was one of her dishes that she had in one of her old menus. I mean, she used to sell the burritos back when were for like 35 cents. It was like, I saw one of these old menus, like, wow, these were really cheap burritos. And one of the languages that she had, one of the specials she had was called the early bird special. And I wanted to keep those, you know, that language alive, you know, so I kept that name in the early bird special, two eggs, any style, hash browns and toast, really simple stuff, you know, just wanted to keep those good ideas going, because I, you know, there's so much there's so much in El Paso going on as far as food restaurants, food trucks, a lot of different restaurants that are doing their own spin on things. And as much as I would like to try to venture into those new things, I was really stuck with what grandma had taught us, with what we've known and what we've done for so long. I didn't want to deviate from that. You know, I just wanted to continue those traditions, those recipes that, you know, that we know. And it's just gotten easier as time has gotten, you know, getting used to what we're doing. And it's become second nature just to do what we do. If we do anything different, I think it would be a monkey wrench in a well-oiled machine. So I don't want to deviate too far.
I wanted to say something on that note. That early bird special that he brought back several years ago, it was, you know, we were brand new in the Northeast and a lot of people didn't know about it. So I remember that my husband would actually, we would print menus out and he would go on foot and hand it out. So it's very traditional in the sense that even how the mentality of keeping that, you know, keeping that alive and going and meeting people face to face and saying, hey, we just opened up a new location. And honestly, word of mouth and just that early bird special, people would say, oh, you offer all that food for $2.99? I'm there. And they started to show up. And it was because of that. I mean, it just continued to build and people created. My husband's very social and he's got just a really beautiful ability to connect with people. I would see it when I was there as often as I was before we had kids. And I thought, wow, it really does run in the family, is that his uncles, his father, they all stem from his grandmother's ability to just connect with people in a very, in just a very real way. And it was very, very honest. And the relationships that he built, it wasn't just the you know, $2.99 special, but we actually have a customer, his name's Chava, and he grew up with Lucy, and he was so in awe that a restaurant had popped up, you know, around his house. He recently lost his wife about a year ago, and that business, now he goes and he's there. We kind of have a joke, you know, they have a joke that they're going to create a statue of him when he's no longer around because he's an older gentleman, and he sits, he shows up when the restaurant opens and he's there all day. And he sits there and he actually greets our customers. And it's just such a nice touch of people like that who knew Lucy and now are so close to her grandson, for example. So it's just beautiful to see that legacy continue in so many ways in addition to the food.
Right. It sounds like her spirit, obviously. Well, it doesn't sound. It's her spirit is still with you. It's not just in the food. But the one theme that keeps coming up in our conversation is that what makes Lucy, it's really the connections that you are building with the community. It sounds like that's really where the anchor is. Which brings me to a phrase that I saw in your Facebook page for the restaurant, and I would like to hear a little bit more about it. Why did you decide to use this phrase, which says something to the effect of inviting people to come to taste the kindness in your food. And I find the word kindness interesting because, you know, some people might say, come taste the authenticity of our food, or come taste the spiciness of our food, or somewhere that would be more echoing more aspects of food. But you have the word, you're choosing the word kindness, to taste kindness. And I really would like to hear from both of you what that means to you. And Josh, if you would like to start.
Yeah, by all means. So that means a lot to me. Tasting the kindness of a food. And I've felt it too. If you feel that you're stressed and if you're cooking food and you have a lot of negative energy in you, you're going to pass that negative energy on to that plate, whether it be whatever aspect. It's just going to be some kind of negative energy to that taste. So we always brought this mentality of being kind to yourself, being kind to the food. You know, never blaspheming the food, never damning the food. It's always a blessing from God that we have these things, that this availability to do so. And it's very touching and humbling to be able to make food for someone and them them ingest that and be fulfilled, be satisfied. It's nurturing. And it's a two-way street for us, right? For us cooks that are working in the back. You know, it's very rewarding to see someone keep coming back and ordering the same food because you know they're liking it. You know they're enjoying it. They're being fulfilled. We try to make the food with good, positive attitudes, with this smiles. You know, all my staff, my kitchen staff are just kind people. You know, you could tell it and you taste it. And we really pride ourselves on keeping that kindness in a workplace environment, to the plate, to the people, to the customer. It's a flow of positive energy that we just feel that this country needs more of.
I'd like to add something to that as well, is if you ever get a chance to meet Lucy, and she lives close by our home, so we visit her every so often, and she is just the kindest, sweetest person that you'll ever meet. She gets so much joy from the stories that we share. I know that she's very proud of Josh. He's the only grandson who's actually opened up a Lucy's restaurant on his own. So being able to be a part of that and being able to see her and share those stories with her about her own customers. And we constantly ask her, do you remember this person? Do you remember that? Well, they remember you. You know, she came across so many different faces, but it's her, like you said, it's her spirit that continues to live on. And I think that it's just so warming to continue to share that with her and see and let her know how much of a blessing that she's been for us.
So how old is Lucy now?
Oh my goodness.
We've been celebrating 89 for 5 years. So she would probably hit me with the chancla if I ever told you that real word. Okay. That real number.
Let's not go there. We do not want you to be hitting you with the chancla. No. I
mean, yeah, somehow it'll make its way towards me. And but yeah, no, she's up there in age, and you know, thank God she's still with us. You know, she's, you know, still got a very sharp mind, still with us. You know, she just gloats whenever she sees our children, her great grandchildren. And it's just, you know, I'm sure it's as much rewarding to see the success of your grandchildren and your great grandchildren. I would hope to one day experience that, but we just try to show her as much love as we can. You know, the Texas bucket list, showing her that video of this. I wasn't more concerned about what was on the screen, more so her emotional, what she was going to feel. And her eyes are just, I was just overjoyed by feeling the pride. Like, she didn't have to say anything, but it's a reciprocated feeling of doing well and being told that you're doing well. And it's a good feeling. She started this in 1972 at the coffee shop. So at the coffee shop, it would actually have been 50 years sometime in September. And so for me, that location is very, it's very dear to me, because from small beginnings came out with great endings. And they're just, I mean, those humble beginnings are just a beautiful thing. And that place is a reminder of humility, of being a server, being a servant. And I think we do it for serving our God, and we serve man, because it's a good Samaritan way to live. And it's a beautiful thing just to see that place still going. And my Aunt Sandra is running that place, and the coffee shop right there by the cathedral. I walk in there and I'll see my Aunt Sandra, and I'm like, wow, it looks just like my grandma. And it's a replica of my grandma. It's her daughter. It's, you know, it's the life is still living and breathing. We still have that spirit, and you feel that in there. We still walk in those built doors, and you could still feel that there's a gentle soul taking care of that. Right. It's just very nice.
Yeah. What I'm gathering here is that a way to frame what you're sharing with us in terms of the cooking process and so on and so forth is that, and in relationship to the phrase, the taste of kindness, it's really emphasizing the emphasis, the intention in which the person who's cooking, you know, prepares the food, the intention in which it's offered, the intention in which it's received. I think that's where I'm gathering the concept of, but not even the concept, but the action of kindness, because it's more than a concept. It's you're actually doing something. It's coming with this idea of intention that the food is to nourish. You know, we can have debates about whether it's the quality or the health aspect of, you know, of Mexican food, because that's always an issue. But I think when we talk about food, we also need to think that food is not just calories and so forth. It's emotion. It has a symbolic aspect to it. It has memories. And maybe some of those customers that used to eat at the original Lucy's, when they come to your place and they eat the machaca, maybe what they're really doing is remembering their experience at the original Lucy's and remembering your grandmother. And that's where the nourishment comes from. At least that's what I'm gathering from your story.
Absolutely.
I'm going to change the subject just a tad, just because I'm curious in terms of our food landscape, our food history here in El Paso. While the recipes remains the same and the way of making them remain the same, and I agree with you, Josh, why change it if it works, right? Why fix it if it's not broken? But some of the things that do change in the food industry is our ability as to where do we get our supplies. Are there national... are they locally gathered, some of them? Are they nationally gathered? So if you can talk a little bit about the sort of like the backstage of the kitchen, meaning obviously you need all this food, you need the items, you need the machaca, you need the eggs, you need so on and so forth. Has that process over the years changed as to how we gather food products that people sell in restaurants or that you sell in the restaurant?
Well, this has been an unprecedented time to try to be in business right now. The cost of inflation and everything that's just gone on in the world, the pandemic, the war, the gas prices, it's affected everything as far as supply chain. And it's been difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's the cost of eggs nearly has tripled in the course of a couple of years. And it's difficult to try to maintain all those products that we normally like to sell and try to have. You know, El Paso is one of the higher cost cities of food in Texas. And it's just, you know, it just goes to show you that there's still a need, there's still a demand, and we're going to keep doing what we have to do to try to keep our economy going. But most of our products are local. We do, you know, food warehouses across town that are thankfully still supplying the products we need. It's very, very hard to try to maintain, you know, a heavy stoat, a steady of revenue with so much inflation going on. But, you know, we just, you know, stay the course, keep the volume, just, you know, keep doing what we're doing, keep getting return customers, you know, just keep doing what we're doing and don't deviate, don't try to stress, because, you know, some way or another, life has a way it's fixing itself. It's going to be hard for a certain time, but then it'll get better. Then it goes back up again. So it's the roller coaster of highs and lows. And that's part of the business. It's, you know, we can't always be on top. You know, one of the best things that I was taught growing up was that we don't want to be the best. We just want to be in business. We want to be around. We want to stay relevant. And thankfully, you know, our name is relevant. It's, we were just voted number 3 in El Paso, best of the best for caldo. And I think that was pretty cool just to be mentioned, just to be framed as being a best of the best in El Paso, in a big city that we are, with big culinary competition, with so much going around us, you know, just to stay relevant even in these times, as far as old as we are, as for as long as we've been around, you know, there's still something lingering around that we're doing good. And, you know, it's a pride of and joy of what we do, that we, you know, someone recognizes us and they mentioned it, and it's rewarding. That's the reward right there.
If that doesn't show you the humility of this family, then I don't know what does.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that, I mean, this is wonderful. What I'm hearing, in your stories and your comments is, you know, success has different faces, right? It looks different for different people. And it sounds like your family, over the years, has had a very clear understanding of what success means for you as a family and maintaining the legacy of Lucy's establishments. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. And you know, especially in times like this, I think customers that you have had and eventually other ones will continue to support that kind of a spirit. And, you know, I think it's important for people to recognize that success, like I said, in any kind of business, and in this particular case, obviously a restaurant, means different things. And just maintaining, sounds like maintaining that loyalty, that humility, that kindness in your face, tasting kindness, is what matters. You know, for you guys, for the Lepe family running this business. As we come to a conclusion here, I would like to ask two more final questions. And one of them, you sort of already said it, but maybe you can like reframe it in a couple sentences. And that is, what is the culinary experience that you want your patrons to take away when they eat at Lucy's Cafe North?
That's a good one. Well, what I want for a business owner was to make sure that they are getting a good product, that they are satisfied, nourished, that they are getting a healthy meal. I do. There's certain customers I make sure they don't get salt, make sure that they don't get sugar. I go about their knowing their business because I want them healthy. I want the best for my customers. I don't want to overfeed anybody. I don't want to overdo anybody's heart problems, or I don't want to contribute to any health related factors. So we do consider our customers, every customer, as unique, and it's important to try to get to know those people's likes and dislikes. And once we've gotten to know those customers' likes, we're able to really get them what they want, get them to coming back, and get them to be satisfied with what we're able to provide. And I think that's one of my funnest goals, is just getting to know these people and letting them come back and just share their experiences with their families and just build our community up.
Okay. And finally, is there anything else that you would like to share with us that we haven't touched upon, either of you?
On the note of the humility, I was always astounded as to how long this business ran just by word of mouth, just by the relationships formed. And I remember Josh was still working at the Lucy's at the King's X when we first got married. And I said, you guys don't even have a website. So we built that, and that has helped, So it's really bringing that, the traditional aspect, but also coming into how can we continue to reach people near and far. And I know that he's a very simple person, just like the rest of his family really are simple people, and they don't realize how great this is. I had a friend, actually, she lives in Phoenix, and she just happened to strike up a conversation with her neighbor, for example. And then they said, I have a friend who's married to Lucy's grandson. So she reached out to me and she said, you're not going to believe this, but my neighbor, he used to go to Cathedral and he used to get the Lucy's Machaca Burritos when he was in school. And so it really, we come across stories like that so much. And I just love that. And I think that we hopefully will continue to reach people with the delicious food as well as the beautiful memories that are attached to the restaurant.
I'm sure that will be the case. Another person that I spoke to for the Pasta Food Voices project, Lori Lordman, she said that one of her favorite places to go to and to bring guests from out of town is actually Lucy's at King X, because it's close to where she lives. So I'm sure that the stories will continue to be made and people will continue to keep sharing it. And in that note, I would like to thank you both for being part of Pasta Food Voices. Josh and Margot Lepe, owners of Lucy's Cafe North, for sharing your family history and some of your culinary traditions. And if our guests who are listening to us have not had breakfast, so please go and have some of Lucy's famous machaca, which I think is probably what I'll do after we finish this recording. So both of you, thank you so much for being part of this project.
Thank you. It was wonderful having us. Thank you.
Take care, Meredith. Thank you.
El Paso Food Voices was created by Meredith E. Abarca, Professor of Food Studies and Literature at the University of Texas at El Paso. Produced by Adrian Mesa from UTEP's Creative Studios. Music composed by Jade Jacobs. To learn more about how food practices, memories, and stories shape a city's history, culture, and its character, please visit us at El Paso Food Voices. Thank you.